Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. We are always very happy to be here. Very happy to be here. And yeah, this is the time where we discuss business matters, the time where we discuss money and issues which affect bread and butter issue. Issues which affect bread and butter. And this is also the platform where we discuss topics which cut across development, and also everything that is in line with where our country is going. We analyze policies and we look at what impact do those policies have in our personal and also professional development, and also in general at the national level. And yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, we are here from 1800 hours until the hour of 7. And this is your platform where we are always trying to bring about those thought-provoking, you know, questions. We are always trying to bring about those conversation which, you know, contribute to the national development, and conversation also which not only to a conversation at the highest level, but we bring about those conversation which are, you know, also touching those who are at the edge of national policy. So in this regard, it's also very important to look at that when you talk about business and economic segment, this is not only a conversation which is one-directed or it's just one direction, but it's a conversation which, you know, accommodative. It's a conversation which is accommodative, which also requires people to contribute. We require people to contribute to the discussion, because we understand that every conversation, and there's an African proverb which says, if you want to go fast, you must go alone. But if you want to go far, you must make sure that you go with others. And in this case, we don't just want to go fast, but whenever you are going fast, fast out where? We want to cover a longer distance. We want to go together. It's a proverb of African, African philosophy. We have to make sure that, you know, we accommodate everyone's opinion. We accommodate everybody's view, respectfully, as long as, they contribute, to the, conversation. Because we understand that, you know, when you want to do something great, you need people who can argue with you. You need people who can, disagree with you professionally. You need people who can point out the weakness in you so that you can be able to improve, so that you can, your institution can also be able to move forward. That's why we are saying we are not one-directed, but it's a conversation for everybody. That's why we are always making sure that when you bring about those business conversation, when you bring about those trade-related conversation, when you bring about those innovation scientific conversation, we'll be able also to, you know, to allow everybody to, you know, to contribute. So before we go to the conversation for today, and we're always saying this, it's always very good to make sure that you are up to date with what's happening in the world, particularly issue which matters. Not only somebody beat the girlfriend or social media gossip, but let us prioritize issues, because our country is not at the standard where it was supposed to be. Our country is not at a good standard in terms of economy, in terms of financial system, in terms of, cyber defense, to say. And a lot of things are not going well. That's why we are saying we acknowledge those who contributed to the country where it is now. But it's also the time where we have also to look at, where others have shortcomings, where others have shortcomings, and how we can bridge this gap. Because it's our country, Namibia is our country, whether you are young, whether you are 1 year old, or you are 100 years old, this is our country, and there is no one who can come and assist us, rather than us solving our own issues. That's why when we are coming here, we will sit on the table of business and economic segment, and we are only discussing issues which are issues of branded butter. And we are indicating to say, for you to be a good citizen who understand economic matters, who understand business, who understand scientific innovation, and also where the world is going, make sure that you follow our page, Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. That is, current is former Twitter, now X. Follow us on LinkedIn. and also on Instagram. Like our page, share our page, because those who follow you will also be able to follow us. Then they will also be accommodated, because we want a greater number of people who can bring about this conversation and also who can contribute to national development agenda. So let's take a caller. We didn't just start. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
How are yourself?
I'm well.
The question is already gone.
Come again?
The question.
Oh, sorry, man. No, this is a new program. You are on business and economic segment. You wanted to take part in the conversation, in the competition?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, sir, man. They are done a long time.
Okay. I just forgot, man, the time.
Oh, okay. No problem. They are done.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, as we are saying, follow us in our social media platform. And the other thing is also that we are moving toward the world of digitalization. That's why in this regard, we are always indicating and we are always encouraging you to download the Gale FM app. Download our app so that, you will not miss out, because there are always those who are asking a lot of, relevant questions to say, Gale FM, where are you? We are not able to get connected to you. The frequency is down here, the north, the south. We are only listening to you a few times. We are saying, ladies and gentlemen, let's move where the world is going. Let us look ahead and also let us play like a big boys. And how can we do that? You can only do this if you understand and also listen to that. There is a new and smart way of listening to us in front of your computer. You can listen to us online. You can also download an app. The same way you have WhatsApp, in the same way you can download the Eagle FM app. It's a smart app that you can use. When you download it via Play Store, App Store, when you download it and put it in your phone, you'll be able to listen to the current programs like right now. And also, you can also be able to listen to previous program by checking on the podcast. So in this regard, you can check on the podcast about previous shows that or previous programs that you have missed. And other programs that you listened halfway, or you were doing something, then you decided to come back and check them. So you can also listen to us online. Just press in Eagle FM Namibia, press home, you listen to us online. And the other thing, we have an e-paper. We have the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper on economics, on business, on trade, on statistics, on farming, and everything which are related to branded butter issue. Download the Villager newspaper, like the page of the Villager newspaper, so that you will not miss out. You can subscribe to 081-241-44. Save that number, send the message of your name, save that number. Then every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will be sent, the soft copy of the Villager newspaper. You read it at your own pace. And if you are a researcher, you are a student of international relations, student of economics, student of law, science, and you are an economic mover or just an interested person in national development, you will be able to have a foundation. You will be able to have a ground. And you will be able also to solve those, economic problems that you are facing. And you can also be able to plan, because we understand that for you to plan very well, you need data, you need information, and you need to make calculated risk in this world of complication, in this world of fast movement of innovation, in this world of machine. You need data, and the data play a role in human development. And you can only do that when get access to the Villager newspaper, get access to right information, and you can be that very good citizen who contribute positively to the development of this country. So dear listeners, we are going to a commercial break. Then from there, we are going to straight to the conversation for today. And interestingly, we have a guest, and it's one of the experts in the topic that we're going to talk about. It's a man from South Africa, and he is one of the leading expert in his field. And I think it's always very good to make sure that you don't miss out, and you can also hear from expert and how we can what we can do to help our country. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 1900 hours.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM.
Yes, we are continuing with business and economic segment. We are looking at economic development. We are also looking at issues which are affecting our business. And yeah, today I got an opportunity to attend Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference, where we have, there were different speakers who talk about cybersecurity, the situation at the global level, continental level, and also areas of national level, and also some of the measures which need to be taken. As you know that Namibia is also one of those countries which is prone to cyber attack. You can recall the incident of last year, Telecom Namibia, and also many other incidents. But today in the studio, I'm joined by one of the cybersecurity experts, Dr. Billy Selekane, and he is the founder of Billy Selekane International. And just to engage us in the studio, Dr. Billy, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment.
Good evening. I think I must correct you, David. I'm not a cyber security expert,
yeah,
but I understand the what you call the ecosystem that,
yeah,
surrounds organizational struggle and business struggle around ICT and especially in the cyber environment, cyber security environment.
Yes, Dr. Mbidi, you had a very great presentation. Everyone was also awake. It was long, but we did not see that. But let us look in general, particularly in Africa. How, in your view, and also through your experience, how do we understand cyber security, especially from an ordinary person to also government?
Yeah. Well, before we even talk about cybersecurity itself, we should look at the digital ecosystem.
Yeah.
How do we understand it? How do we partake in it? And how do we interpret the ability that it has to transform our businesses and our lives?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Africa, some countries in Africa have jumped from under the ground cables into optics,
yeah,
into satellite technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and if you look at the young population of Africa, mm-hmm, we are very digitized.
Yeah.
And digitized not in a desktop perspective, but digitized in mobile. So we carry mobile phones, which we do everything. We bank, we connect with mobile phones and stuff like that. Now, since we've got such a massive digital exposure,
yeah,
we should therefore ask ourselves this question: how safe are we, or how exposed are we, to attacks and to crimes that can affect our livelihoods? And the answer is, the exposure is too large. It is too large because people, when you talk about cybersecurity, they think corporate, they think government. But if somebody sends you a WhatsApp which is cloned to get data from your phone,
yeah,
that's an attack on you. And that has to do with cybersecurity. So as Africans, I think one of the things that we need to do, we need to get into a place where we've got this thing I call data sovereignty. So which means we must have the capability to own and store our own data.
Okay.
Because at the moment, you just have a phone.
Yeah.
Apple owns your data, Facebook owns your data, Meta, and Google, they all own your data, and you don't know what they do with your data, and suddenly you see yourself consuming particular products more than others, because they've sold your data point to these people that now start attacking you with adverts. So I think, number one, in Africa, we need to build our own data centers.
Yeah.
Like I said, South Africa has done it, Nigeria has done it, and unfortunately, big conglomerates like Amazon have also landed doing exactly the same thing, building data centers. So both from a government perspective and an SME, and solopreneurs, we've got to ask ourselves this question: how long will we allow our data as Africans to be explored against us?
Yes, Dr. Billy, let us look at cyber security defense. I want you to take us, particularly in Africa, what is one of the countries that we can learn from, which maybe build a better cyber defense system, yeah, that we can learn from, and how did they invest in that area, and what is the impact that has to an ordinary citizen in that country, particularly African context?
Well, I think there are two countries that would come up front for me, which is Rwanda and South Africa. And if you look at why South Africa, especially because South Africa's got one of the most sophisticated financial systems in the world, actually not even in the continent.
Okay.
So therefore, because of the fact that our systems are so highly governed, the amounts of budgets that banks have and spend on creating security around their systems is so high. And therefore, South Africa is one of those countries where we're very high on cybersecurity. However, looking at Namibia, I think 2011, you guys were 13 point something in the scale, but now you're 30 something. So it shows there's a shift, there's a movement that Namibia, both government and private sector, are recognizing the fact that if you don't scale up and create walls that will protect your data, you'll be constantly attacked. Like you spoke about the attack of Telkom last year.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be happening. It should not have happened. But it happened because somebody slept at the steering wheel, you know.
Yeah.
So, and now, I mean, you look at, you guys are still working on your cyber security bill.
Yeah.
It's not yet alive. So therefore, it means you're still prone for attack. But if you look at Rwanda and South Africa, because South Africa, based on the fact that we've got a sophisticated banking system, but Rwanda, based on the fact that they have decided to push their economy to become very digital. If you're going to digitize your economy, you need to build super strong cybersecurity to protect the vulnerability of your industry and your economy, and also businesses that are operating in that digital ecosystem.
Yeah, as you mentioned, South Africa and Rwanda, maybe let us look at the business side of it. When you look at a system which is prone to cyber attack, maybe just to highlight through your experience in business, what is the impact of this, having maybe a weak system or a system that cannot defend itself sometimes? What is the impact of this to the economy of the country, or even to investors who want to invest in that country, if I make my question clear?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at small businesses that, number one, don't understand what cyber security is,
yeah,
and the systems are not protected,
yeah,
people hack and steal money from them. Sometimes people hack And a simple phone call or with a link, you press the link, it sends a malware in your system, it takes, cleans out your bank account. Now, if you look at FDIs, you know, foreign direct investors, they don't want to come and invest in an economy that has got too many holes, mm-hmm. because then the danger is their money is not secured. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to come and borrow you money and tomorrow I can't find you anywhere, yeah. or somebody can hack into your bank account, yeah. because you don't have any, you know, firewalls around you to protect you. So for your country, for many countries in the continent, for them to be able to attract FDIs, they need to get their cyber system up and going as soon as possible. And one of the things I said, we have an opportunity in the continent because we've got the youngest population in the world. Mm-hmm. So we need to invest in our school system.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity must be part of the curriculum at school. It should not be after people graduate, then they must do it at university. It is late by then.
Yeah.
They should start it at the very elementary ages because, by the way, yeah. you know, they are black-haired hackers and they are white-haired hackers.
Mm-hmm.
But the greatest hackers are kids from the age of 9 and 14 and 15
mm-hmm.
because their brains are operating at a level that we don't. You know, they don't have worries like us. They're not. All they do is they look at a keyboard and they just experiment.
Uh-huh.
And then the more they experiment, the better they become in using the system, and therefore they can hack into any system. So kids at that early age should be exposed to digital education and especially cybersecurity education. Like I said, the market in the continent this year in 2025 is about $2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to increase by 6.8% between now and 2030.
Okay.
In 2030, the cybersecurity market is going to be $3.11 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the saddest part of it is we're losing $10 billion annually on cybercrime. So we're not matching the criminals with our systems.
Yeah.
So by implication, we need to focus on building the skills
yeah.
and the technologies, and also creating collaborative ways of working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Namibia as a country can't fight on its own.
Mm.
It's part of SADC.
Mm.
Why not create centers of excellence within SADC where we can share best practices?
Yes. Dr. Billy, let us, before I ask you the question related to the most complicated case that you dealt with in business, I want to look at research and development. The other day I had a presentation and there was one researcher also who spoke about, you know, African government, they spend less than 2% of their GDP in R&D, but even also those fast growing economies, they're also spending less than 2% of their GDP to research and development. Do you think this has an impact, particularly as far as cybersecurity is concerned?
Definitely, because remember, I just said that the market is worth $2.1 billion,
mm.
and yet we're losing $10 billion
mm-hmm.
on cyber crimes.
Mm.
So it means that the cyber criminals are a couple of steps ahead of industry and governments.
Yeah.
So government needs to really double down and spend serious amount of money.
Mm.
Not only on R&D, but also buying skills. Because some skills, you don't have time to create them. You don't have time to nurture them.
Yes.
You have got to go and buy them.
Mm.
I spoke about the fact that in Ghana, there's a massive experience of the people from the America with the diaspora coming back to Ghana.
Mm.
Those people have got lots of skills.
Mm.
But they're coming to Ghana as an entry point.
Mm.
Namibia, South Africa, other countries can go and attract these super skills
mm.
from developed nations for them to come and plug these gaps.
Mm.
Because, yes, we need to have a dual strategy.
Yeah.
We need to train and develop an R&D, but we also need to be able to buy these skills and deploy them as quick as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there is a lot of, I was speaking to one person, I'm not going to mention the name, is one of a bit prominent Namibian person in that field, but I have to protect due to the nature of the work that he's doing. And he's indicated that, you know, sometimes we also have a bit of suspicions, especially when you want a consultant from outside. I know you are an African.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about, bad about other people,
yeah.
but there's a little bit of, there's a little bit of concern about, using external consultant to help you deal with your system, especially when it comes to cyber crime. I just want your opinion on this. Is it necessary, really? Let me say, I want somebody, a company from, Russia or America just to assist me to build a fire defense or
yeah.
cyber security defense. Well, what do you really, your view on this?
Well, anything. I mean, it's like if you go to a local mechanic,
mm.
you have to do a due diligence on him, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is he able to fix cars?
Mm.
When cars come out of him, are they not missing some parts? Is gear number one no longer reverse
yeah.
or reverse gear number one?
Yeah.
So you've got to do a proper due diligence. And I always say,
mm.
this wheel has been created, is moving at the speed of light.
Yeah.
So if you cannot afford to build the infrastructure yourself, find the best of breed companies from anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, a lot of companies in this space, they've got a very big reputation to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to come and open your systems for attack because their name is attached to the name of your company.
Oh.
So they're going to make sure that they give you the best service because your testimony to other businesses has the potential to increase their business.
Mm-hmm.
However, still say, you've got to do proper due diligence.
Uh-huh. Yes, maybe before we come to the end of our conversation, because I know a lot of people also want to talk to you. Yeah, let us look at the issues of, you mentioned something related to collaboration. Let us look at the issues of diplomacy, because, you know, when you look at the Sunday country, we are more together in terms of diplomacy, in terms of security, we are more together. But when it's coming to critical issues, there was a point which was mentioned to say, with much respect, politicians, they listen to scientists and experts, but with a little bit of, skepticism, giving an example of climate change. Scientists have been speaking about climate change, but not really well, you know, handled. How do we include this main thing of cyber security in our regional diplomacy, if I have to say that?
Well, I think we should use data to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you the amount of money that is leaving the continent. And if you can give empirical data to these politicians and also demonstrate their own vulnerability, then they will act. Because at the moment, they think they are immune from this thing. So sometimes you've got to make a person taste a little bit of the medicine for them to wake up. So we've got to show them that all of us are vulnerable. If you're carrying a mobile device, you can be hacked anytime.
Yeah, yeah.
So until we bring it to their face and to their lives and they can feel the heat, the change will be very slow. The diplomatic and the business and political collaboration will not happen at the speed that it should be happening. Because I think data proves the urgency of us cooperating. Instead of Namibia trying to build its own data center, why not create a data center for SADC where we share best practice? Why? Because it's going to, again, people will share the budget. You'll contribute based on the size of your country and the size of your industry.
Yes, lastly, it's a question I already asked you to say. What is the most sophisticated and complicated cyber case that you dealt with, and what lesson maybe you have learned from, and what lesson other businesses and also government can learn from that?
So we are we do a lot of consulting on culture and leadership and stuff, and we have a lot of inquiries coming to our business, and like the other presenter said, we have a standard protocol of how to answer emails who don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So when an email comes and I'm not sure who this person is, I forward it to my ICT guys and they check if it's legitimate.
So it has to go through the net first?
Yes, it has to go through the net first because, you know, I'm busy, you're busy. I press to open a link, then the whole thing goes crazy and we can't stop it.
Okay.
So I usually say to people, don't hide behind the word busy and lose the security of your business. Always have the guys, I mean, we have ICT guys who are very knowledgeable. If there's something that I see, even from my phone. And by the way, when I leave South Africa, I delete all my banking apps.
Oh.
Yes, because I'm going to get here. Because when you get into the airport, you charge your phone at the airport. You're exposing yourself to a hack. It's amazing, you know. So, you know, we call it digital sanitization. You've got to find ways to sanitize your business and protect it. And some of these hacks are so simple. You get an email that says, here's a video. You press that video open, it's gone. So, number one, an email that I've not solicited that I don't know, if it has a link, I don't touch it. A WhatsApp of somebody that I don't know that has got a link, I sometimes delete it immediately. Because those small little eggs can open up a massive gateway into your systems, and before you know it, money disappears from your business.
Yes, Dr. Mary Serekane, thank you very much for taking time, and very happy that I got this opportunity to have a conversation with you. So I just wish you safety and continue doing what you do. And as I have said, your presentation is top-notch, and I think we'll meet again and also have a little bit more of conversation like this. But thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your input.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting for us to meet in a year's time and to check the score of Namibia from 39.1, how far you guys have gone. Not only from the public perspective, but also private sector and small, medium enterprises.
Thank you.
It's been a privilege. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Good night.
Yeah, those were the words of, he doesn't want to be called an expert, but one of the presentation that he delivered, it really touched, most of the people in the room that time. And, he'll be able to see that, you know, Africa, one day we are going to get it. But we have to suffer first because we are, our system is not yet in order. And I think we are going to get it because if you have a man like Billy Serekane in Africa, and looking at the work that he has done, I think we just need to expand more. And the emphasis which I'm going to put is on research and development. It's research and development because I got also an opportunity to ask Cornelia Chipindo from CREN. It's one of the executives there. She was representing the CEO, Mr. Emilia Nkembwa. And I asked a question to say, look, you indicated that from 2023, the Ministry of Information, Communication and Technology allocated 20 million to CREN, Communication Regulatory Authority, to make sure that the Namibia, you know, that response unit, cybersecurity response unit, is operational and also effective and also protecting us, because 20 million given 2023. And she indicated that no, they recruited various cybersecurity experts, they trained people and all those things. Then I asked how much was spent on research and development. And she indicated that nothing was spent on research and development so far. And maybe when they get another budget, that's going to happen. But what is very interesting, is that you get money 2023, you are operating, you are protecting the country. And interesting, last year, 2024, then attack on government institution, telecom, and all those things. Maybe it's also the right time to look at the area of research development, like what was said, as an expert indicate the area of you know, building of data center. Building of data center so that we own our own data. Because if we have, you know, companies from outside who own our data, they can do whatever they want with our data. And data is very important because people can use them to create a need and also to get money from you. So I think maybe it's also the right time to expand, because when you look at R&D, it's not only about research and studying, it's also about innovating and make those people in the field to learn. You learn from experience, you learn from research, you learn from practice. You have an institute where you are training ethical hackers, for example. And I think it's also a matter of us also trying to relook at concept of hacking. Because those days, when somebody want to study cyber security, people were not even allowed to try hacking, until to the point where the state realized to say, if you don't have hackers, you just need hackers that you can train ethically to defend yourself. Because for you to catch a criminal, you must understand the tactics and also strategies of criminals. So you need to go into their field so that you will also be able to do those things. And what is very interesting is that most of difficult hackers are below the age of 25. And I think if we train our young people from a younger age, particularly in the field of not just computer, but in the field of technical things, we'll be able to move fast. Because we have been talking about this thing. When you look at what a grade 5 child is being taught, or a grade 6 child is being taught in Namibia, then you compare to Japan, you will not understand. While we are dancing in Africa, other people are already coding. By the time we start coding at the grade 12 level, people have already developed app, people have already created companies online, and they have already created consulting, you know, firms. Yeah, that's why we need to look at that thing, at that area. So we still have 3 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio, 0833-288-401, 0833-288-401. So you can still engage us in that platform. And, you know, what is also, very interesting about, especially this thing of, cyber security, you know, the more we are behind in terms of development, the more we are vulnerable. The more people are behind in terms of development, the more we are vulnerable. That's why, development also matters, because if you have a lot of computer scientists who are not, working, who are not having platform, a genius, you know, a mad genius, used to say, you know, when you watch those movies of mad genius is somebody who, is frustrated by the system, but he has knowledge. Then he has to use this knowledge for unethical use. And, we have them in Namibia, And it's not a good thing. And these are also people who can cooperate with other people from other countries. But for we to defend ourselves, let us make sure that apart from having a physical military, let us have cyber defense. That we are lacking there at cyber defense. We have other countries are equipped like South Africa and Rwanda, it was indicated. Maybe it's also the time we can also learn from that. But it's a very interesting conference. It's a very interesting conference. You will meet everybody there. You can also be able to see that Namibians, although we are saying they are not doing anything, they are there, they are listening, and they are contributing and so networking. And yeah, I think maybe the last thing that we need to, that also was emphasized on, is the power of collaboration. If you have cyber expert or policymakers understand what is cyber, tech-related stuff mean. What is cyber security? What are some of, how do we prioritize that? Because a politician with little understanding will not drive that policy. Look at the area of climate change. We have been talking about climate change and all these things. And one guy indicated to say, no, you know, scientists are lab people and they don't really put more time on public speaking and effective communication so that they can convince those who are in charge of policymaking to prioritize those areas, because we would have already gone somewhere far. But yeah, I think we are moving in the right direction. If things of this nature are being discussed, I think we are moving in the right direction. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, Devin Shombe. And until next time, see you. I'm going to review in the good hands of Mtuma team. That is Tate Fly, Go Fly, and Kapate Katoka. So see you next time.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa nora hetatu natu. Bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional...